So far, we've been able to see that the information about ministry gifts. Was not to Timothy and Silas, right? But it was to the entire church. Everybody had information about it. When you start to grow spiritually, things that will start to concern you, things you ought to know about. For example, if I hear people say, "Help me, I just want to grow spiritually. I don't need to be a pastor or something." Again, that's the voice of selfishness. Hallelujah. That's the voice of selfishness to say you just want to grow spiritually, and you don't want to mature anybody because someone matured you, right? And so that's the way it runs, you know. Someone matures you, you mature another, right? The another matures someone else. That's how the gospel keeps going. Imagine after the foundational apostles, imagine we didn't have any ministry gifts again. Just imagine. So who will be teaching, you know? So as we grow spiritually, people now pick up responsibilities in the body of Christ, right? Remember, we use that, look at the word body, right? To mean what? Huh? The expressions of Christ. Again, we have been able to see many things. I'll just quickly go through that. We've seen the church, the ecclesia, which will have dual purpose, right? The purpose of what? Huh? We have the purpose of the people and the guardian of the people. I talked to you that have gone through your notes, so that all these things is flowing. We have the dual purpose of the people and the guardian of people. We have also seen that ministry is for every believer, right? 2 Corinthians 5:19, Numbers 11. Remember that Numbers 11? When Moses said, left to God, all the people who shall be what? Prophets. All people shall prophesy. And you remember Exodus 19 verse 6. It will make them a kingdom of priests. So, again, ministry is for everyone. Every part of the ecclesia, every member of the ecclesia. We have also seen that the ministry is not dancing, is not drama. The ministry rather is preaching. We've seen the genesis of ministry gifts, right? Jethro and Moses, the council, you take 70, right? Take 70, and then later you took 12, right? 12, those were the spies, right? The 12 is what you now call the foundational apostles. Does it make sense? Because they were chosen from each tribe and they were well known, remember? Eh? Known, experienced. So, they were chosen from each tribe. So, what you call the 12 apostles is what you had as the spies. Does that make sense? The 10 spies, the 12 spies. So, what happened to the 10 other spies is what happened to Judas. Does it make sense? What happened to the other two? Joshua and Caleb. That is what we have as a foundational apostle. Does that make sense? And so we also saw that means the leadership in the ecclesia will be Moses' terminology. The leadership in the ecclesia will be Moses' terminology. We also saw women in ministry. I think we saw that clearly. How many of you are there? Eh? Alright. So without doubt, regardless of what has been holding traditionally, We can boldly say women are also called into ministry. Abi? Huh? Uh-huh. So, women are in the ministry. You can't say, but I suffer not a woman to preach. We've seen all of that. Abi? Alright. Let them keep quiet. Let them speak to their husband. That is someone to speak to their husband. Husband, that is said she will prophesy. She can't be speaking to their husband again. And so we saw all of that. Okay? So we've seen a bit, the qualification for ministry, even though we're going to see that much more later, more elaborately. One of the things we also saw is that every ministry gift is first exampled in who? Eh? In Christ, exactly. He is the apostle of our profession, Hebrews 3:1. He is the bishop and the shepherd of our souls, 1 Peter 2:25. He is the teacher, Matthew 7:28. John 3:2, he's a shepherd, yeah, John 10, he's also called a prophet, he called himself a prophet, many, quite a number of times, you find that in Mark 6:4, Matthew 13:57. Acts 6:4. Matthew 13:57. Luke 4:24. John 4:44. His disciples obviously called him a prophet too. In Luke 24:19. When they said, these things that have happened in these 3 days, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty word and indeed. Luke 24:19. So the disciples also called him a prophet. Moses, also called him a prophet. Deuteronomy 18:15, 18-19. Deuteronomy 18:15, then verse 18-19 too, where he said, the Lord will raise from among you, right? A prophet, right? Like unto your brethren, whom you will hear, a prophet. So he called Jesus a prophet. You find that in Acts 3, verse 22. So, a major delegation you also find in the New Testament, which we just quickly peruse and see how far we go, is the word elder. You find the word elder so much quite prominent. Right? You find the word elder. That's Acts 11. Then, like I said earlier, this morning we'll be having a whole lot of details. Quite a lot. If you're not a diligent Bible student, you may as well give up in the middle. But I trust you. Acts 11, verse 28. Verse 27 says, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named what? Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great death throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to what? To send relief unto the brethren which dwell at Judea, which they also did, and sent it to what? The elders by the hand of Barnabas and Paul. Alright? Verse chapter 14, you find the word elders there. They sent it by the hands of the elder. Acts 14:23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Elders in every church. Acts 15:2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider on this matter. Verse 22, waiting for you. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send what? Chosen men of their own company unto Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas and Barnabas and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So, again, after the apostles, which common ministry have we seen so far? Elders, Abby. So you often see them together, apostles and elders, apostles and elders, apostles and elders. We see that. Please just pay attention. In Acts 20, again, elders will be a common language from Moses. Remember, that's what Moses also chose, elders, right? Remember, Moses actually chose elders. That's what he chose. He chose. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He called the elders of the church. So, again, if you don't know any ministry so far in the book of Acts, we are seeing elders. Again, the prophet you are seeing in the book of Acts is actually because, listen very well, it is Luke that wrote it. And Luke is Paul's disciple. And so you find that descriptive element, prophet. Why would he call Agabus a prophet? Because he just saw something. And so the book of Acts, being descriptive, we actually call him a prophet. We'll see that much more as we get to the evangelist. But, the prominent ministries, two ministries you see in the book of Acts to be what? The apostles and the elders. So again, what did other apostles, let's leave Paul out of this case now. Because you're still going to come back to Paul. Why are we going to rest on Paul? You will see. But what did other apostles, other writers of the New Testament, what did they teach as pertaining finished gift? Because many people have said that it was only Paul that taught it. I'm saying this because if you are going to teach God's word, you are going to be a teacher of the scriptures, there are some things you must take care of. This morning I will give you some school of thoughts to think about. Some school of thoughts to think about. Things that are commonly said, then you just reason it out. How about that? Again, there's a school of thought that says that ministry gift was Paul's coinage. That there's nothing like bishop, there's nothing like pastor. That it was Paul, that there's nothing like even ministry gift, that all believers are equal, all believers are the same. There's a school of thought like that. I like that many people say, I'm not giving to any pastor. I'm not submitting myself to anybody. Jesus is my teacher. That's where it came from. Jesus is your pastor. Jesus is everything. It's okay. As I saw someone mentioned on the Arsenal website that Alba has been our savior, which is quite remarkable. He has been scoring and saving us from some real mess. And so that's what he said. Alba has been our savior. No, I have to reply to him and say, no, he's not my own savior. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You know, white guys, there's a way white guys talk. He said, oh, that's cool. Yeah, Jesus, how many goals does he have for us now? And that made me laugh. Yeah? Jesus has no goal for us now. Again, they feel like it's Paul's nuance. It's just his own opinion. Something that he slept and woke up and just decided that let's be calling some people ministry gifts. But let's look at other apostles. Look at Peter, for example. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. So we are looking at ministry gifts as written by other writers, right? Alright. 1 Peter 1, 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So, again, this is a distinction. It didn't say a son of God like you are. An apostle. So again, we are seeing the ministry gift here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect to the according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and speaking of the word of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and what peace be multiplied. Look at 2 Peter 3, 2. Verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up pure minds by way of remembrance. Verse 2. That you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the Holy Prophet. Holy Prophet will be the Old Testament prophet, right? So this is not ministry gift. And of the commandment of what? Us, the apostles of Lord and Savior. So, does that make sense? An apostle again, we have seen Peter making mention of an apostle, right? So, again, the use of an apostle be Paul's nuance. We need the Paul's opinion when he says apostle. No, we have seen that Peter used it also. Look at 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, whom also I am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and a partaker what? Of the glory that shall be revealed. Can you see that? An elder. So we see an elder. Verse 2. Feed the flock, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being the examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yeah. All of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. So, again, what two ministries have we seen so far in the book of Peter? Apostles and elders. Again, was that what we saw in the book of Acts too? As prominent? Alright. Okay, look at John. 1 John. Or 2 John 1. 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. So again, John is the elder here, and he recognizes a leader in the church. That means leadership is prominent in the church. outside Paul's epistles, you will still find leadership in the church. And so we can't read Paul's opinion. So again, John calls himself an elder. An elder, yeah. Look at 3 John. 3 John. Verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So, again, elder, right? Alright. Look at Jude. Book of Jude. Jude 18. No, 17. In verse 1, Jude 1 first. It said, Jude the servant. The word servant is where the diaconos. And this, the minister, the deacon. What you can call deacon. The servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. And preserved in Jesus Christ. And this is the brother of brother James. Verse 17. The beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of what? Of the apostles of our Lord. Again, so far, what ministries have we been saying consistently? Alright. In the book of Revelation, obviously, you find the angel to the churches, which we said is the messenger to the churches. That would be, maybe the pastor, maybe the elder, we don't know. But the messenger to the churches, the angel of the churches. So again, ministry gifts cannot be Paul's nuance. No. Every other person taught it. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13:7, said, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith you should follow, considering the end of their life. Remember those who have the rule over you, because that would be oversight. Oversight. Someone who has an oversight over you. That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. The shepherd. Rahi in the Hebrew. Poimen in the Greek. Look at verse 17. And that says, obey them that have the rule over you. Again, listen very well. So if I said, well, everything, you just quickly call your pastor. Yeah, is he your Lord and Savior? It's not about being your Lord and Savior. He said, obey them that have the rule over you. That word rule means to control. Well, I can't do blind loyalty. Yeah, I can't do blind loyalty. I said, you are wrong, you just contradict yourself. Because loyalty is blind. How about that? When you are loyal to something, you are blind to every person. Loyalty is blind. 99.9% loyalty is not loyalty. Loyalty is 100%. So obey them that have the rule over you actually means to control. Alright? Obey them that have the control over you. So we see that again in the book of Hebrews. So far, ministry is in the ecclesia. You've seen that it's in the ecclesia. In the assembly. Because we need to define the ecclesia. Unless you say, ministry is in the people. That is, everybody is their own pastor. No. Ministry is in the assembly. Remember we said the ecclesia will have a dual purpose. So, if I didn't have the letters of Paul at all, and I'm asked about ministry gifts, what do you think I would say? What ministry gifts do you think I would mention? Apostles and elders, are you? Right? You are the only one that is different. You say elders and apostles. You have to just bring your own. You're a different person. You are a Chelsea. Yeah, yeah. That's what I teach like someone. That I should be different. I don't get it. One Bible. It's just one Bible. How will I be different? Say, be different. Be different. Have your own unique selling point. Hey, I'm serious. I was present today. Be different. I'm different already now. Obviously, we are not the same height. Apparently, we don't bear the same name, and we don't live in the same place. I'm already different. See, when we want to push you into our Conga is well. That's when they will start telling you all those kind of things. Be different. Be your own man. The first year is Conga. Be your own man. Be your own man. That's what has led to many destruction. Hallelujah. So, again, I said, if I don't have the letters of Paul, I would readily just say that the ministry gift you have are the apostles and elders. But will I be wrong? I don't think so. Again, the elders are the mature ones who have oversight, just like Paul said. Let's say Paul. Hey, Peter. 1 Peter 5. He says, the elders among you are exhort. We, I'm also an elder. Verse 4. Verse 2 now says, feed the flock. Which among you, taking oversight thereof.
And this, so that means elders are those who have oversight over the flock. They are also given to revelation. So, again, because John actually had revelations, and he called himself an elder. 3 John 1, Abby, and John had revelations. Alright, so they are also given to revelations. Again, if you look at the term prophets, more often than not, it is used for Old Testament prophets. If you look at the book of Acts, even the epistles, when you see prophet, more often times actually, it's used for Old Testament prophets. Acts 11:27, Acts 15:32. This one has a unique mention because Acts 15:32 now says, Judas and Silas, being prophets in themselves. Okay, this is not Old Testament, but Judas and Silas. Acts 13:6. And when they had gone through the Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Again, it's either you are using it for Old Testament prophet or a false prophet. Jesus himself, apart from calling himself a prophet, and you calling the Old Testament prophet, the only people he used prophets for, not the only people. Apart from calling himself a prophet, and the Old Testament prophet, he used prophets for those whom he sent. When he said, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, right? You receive a prophet from Matthew 10:41. Right? Apart from that, the only other people who call prophets are false prophets. False prophets. Okay, so you find a lot of use of false prophets as prophets in the New Testament. Look, Peter also, in 2 Peter 2:1. Let's look at that. 2 Peter 2:1. It says, but there are false prophets among you, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destructions. And so, we are false prophets. It's not the person that is in vision and you don't see it well. If you look at the use of false prophets, it's actually used for false teachers. Those who undo the Old Testament with deceit are called false prophets. So, false prophets will be that false teacher. Okay? 1 John 4:1. Let's get away with the way John used it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So the way they used false prophets was for men that misrepresented the Old Testament. That's where they used prophets. Having said that, what is predominant in all the epistles apart from Paul is elders. The use of the word elders. If they used elders, why didn't we find much of the word elders used by Paul? If at all, I don't think he used at all in any of his epistles. Why? Then where will Paul now get his own evangelist? Because Peter never mentioned an evangelist. So far, what ministry did have we seen other writers use? Apostles, elders. So where did Paul get evangelists, get prophets, and get pastor? Hallelujah. Let's look at the word prophets too. In the book of Acts, Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Again, he said your young men are like everybody, right? So this is not for a specific class. He calls everybody prophets, sons and daughters, servants and handmaids. Okay? Acts 2:28, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy in thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me finish speak of you of the patriarch David, who is both dead and buried, and his what? And his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, again, Old Testament prophet. Acts 21:9, he calls Philip's daughters, he calls them prophets. Acts 21:9. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins. Virgin means they had not married. You see that in the Bible. Which did prophesy. Again, his 4 daughters, they prophesied. Right? Acts 19:6. When Paul met those disciples and he said, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spoke with tongues and what? Again, you have thought that prophets are a specific class of people. But the way we now saw it is as though anybody are prophets. Something like that. Just almost fulfilling Numbers, Abi. Numbers 11. Willing to God, everybody will be a prophet, Abi. A kingdom of priests, Exodus 19:6. Aha. Almost fulfilling that. So let's try that again. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul mentions prophecy as a gift of the Spirit. Prophecy as a gift of the Spirit. So, again, it's not seen as something that is peculiar to anyone. It's not so. In fact, the way Paul now uses it, look at the wisdom of the Pauline epistles. There's a way he now handles prophecy. Only Paul, listen, only Paul addressed prophecy as an activity among saints in his letters. That is, he now merge prophecy as something you see among believers. 1 Corinthians 11. Only Paul. Every time just, oftentimes just, we are very low on spiritual gifts. And it, of course, it makes sense because Paul is the one that has the understanding of the ecclesia. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. But every woman that prays and prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. Well, that is even as one that she has shaven. We have explained this already. Again, every woman that prophesies. You have thought that only prophets prophesy. He said, Paul is saying, every woman that prophesies. Like, come on. This thing is normal. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaks in his own tongues edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies himself. No specific class, right? Just everybody. That's why. Are you that hear speak with tongues, but rather you what? You prophesy for greater is he that prophesies, that he that speaks with tongues except in that people that may receive, and the church may receive edifying. Verse 1. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gift, but rather than what? That you may prophesy. Verse 24. But if all prophesy, verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one. So it's as though it's not deputed to a specific class of people, but everybody actually can prophesy. Verse 37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that rather than you the commandments of the Lord. Verse 39. Brother brethren, convert to prophesy. So it's as though it's written to everybody, 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. So obviously, in writing about prophesying, he takes his vocabulary from Numbers 11. The whole church. If all prophesy. He takes his vocabulary from Moses and used it as what should happen among believers every time. Definitely the elders in the book of Acts, they prophesied and also taught. The elders in the book of Acts, they prophesied and they also taught. So, whatever we are seeing in Paul's explanation, that seems like an exemption, it will actually be an elaboration. I'll come again. Again, is the elders in the book of Acts prophesied, right? Come on, they prophesied. We see that. They also taught. So, why will Paul now have a different set of names as it were? Prophets, evangelists, apostles, pastor, teacher, you know? Since everybody is prophesying already. Ephesians 4:11. This is your word. We are entering small. Ephesians 4. Verse 11 says, he gave some apostles. Again, so far, we have only seen apostles and elders. If you remove all the Pauline epistles, the only ministry gifts you will know, is the apostles and the elders. Again, I told you that the reason why you see prophets used in Acts 15:32 for Jude and Silas is because of who? You see what it says? Without Paul, you need a prophet at all. The only prophet you hear will probably be the prophet of the Old Testament and false prophets. It is Paul that now makes us understand that, okay, they are prophets as ministry gifts. And it did fail to also make us realize that all believers can prophesy. We see that, Abi. 1 Corinthians 14:1, 1 Corinthians 14:5, 14:4 and 5, 1 Corinthians 14:16, 14:24, 14:31, 14:39. Alright. Look at Ephesians 4:11. It says, some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The traditional thinking we have is that It's a five-fold ministry. But I don't think that was what Paul meant. Since different words were even used to different churches. As it were, in this Paul's classification, we don't see an elder. Yet, Peter mentioned an elder. Right? Come on, right? In this Paul's classification, we don't see a bishop. Yet, there are bishops. So, we need to look at what he's saying. He has to bring this elder, bishop, and reverend. What else do you use for people? Most reverend, archbishop. What else? They have explained that those who take care of natural duties. No? A drummer in your church actually is a deacon. How about that? Everyone who serves in natural things. The protocol. The one carrying the pastor's bag is serving in natural duty, is a deacon. The way we have had deacon, you know, pouring oil on deacon, no. Why would they say, listen, everyone, why would they put them aside? It might be different from every other worker. It will be those who you set aside for special duties, something like that. For example, let me tell you, the person that puts on church gen is a deacon. Deacon just means those who take care of natural duty. That's what happened in Acts 6 now. In Acts, they were fighting, okay, we will serve tables. The widows have not been served bread very well. So, Peter and the other apostles said, okay, what will happen is that choose among you seven people. Those will be the deacons. So, among the seven people that will now do this job. What will they do? They are not going to be teaching, no? They are not going to be teaching the disciples. We will still be teaching the apostles. We will not leave the ministry of the word. So, if the apostles are still teaching, deacons don't teach. Deacons serve tables. So, there are those who serve natural things, depending on playing keyboard, DK, person cleaning drum. How about that one? You have a retreat, the person serving you bread. That is the perfect example of Acts 6 DK. As they are serving you bread like this, I am putting butter. That's what DKs do, DK. Especially like these days, you know, like DKs position themselves, carry mic, and start opening a 7:30-3:15. DKs serve tables, diaconos, servants. So the general thing we have is that it's five-fold ministry, but I beg to differ. That's what Paul meant. Because we now have in mind that as though God just calls someone and say, yeah, oh well, pastor, Shola, evangelist, Dan, prophet. Verse 1. Let's have verse 1, Ephesians 4:1. So that we can read into it and see what he is saying. Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Please look at your Bible. With long suffering for bearing one another in love. Don't forget that he's going to mention ministry gifts, but look at the way he's starting. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord. One faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and what? Can I have an amen on that? But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the metron, to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore is he it? When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. And gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended forth in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is also the same that ascended far up, far above all levels, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Many have argued that why would Paul have to use that scripture? Because he's quoting a scripture that he that ascended. And I said, he ascended and he gave gifts to men. Okay? But the argument doesn't, it's not necessary. He's quoting Psalm 68. We just see that. Verse 1 where he says, go to Psalm 68. Verse 1 he says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise is the resurrection, please. let's be guided. It's not what you use in the prayer vigil today again. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. His arising is in the resurrection. He's actually quoting Moses also. This David that Paul is quoting Moses in Numbers 10:35. 10:35, where it says, "And it came to pass when the ark set forward, Moses said, 'Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered. Let them that hate you, let them flee before you. Let them that hate you, let them flee before you.'" The same thing Jesus will say, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That is the scattering of the enemy. The scattering of the enemy. Okay? Go to Psalm 68. "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." Verse 2. "As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. So as the wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yeah, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises unto his name. Exalt. Extol him that writes upon the heavens by his name, Jah. And rejoice before him." Jah is Jehovah. Mimo, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. We'll look at that holy habitation. Habitation actually means where you dwell. You find that in, let's quickly write that down. Find that in Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. 2 Chronicles 30:27, 2 Chronicles 36:15. Please mark that habitation. We are coming back there. 2 Chronicles 36:15, Psalm 26:8, Psalm 71:3, Psalm 91, Psalm 91:9, Jeremiah 9:11, Jeremiah 10:22, Jeremiah 25:36, Jeremiah 45:33. Jeremiah 51:37, Nahum 2:1, and Zechariah 2:13. Habitation. That's Psalm 68:5 now. A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Again, that will be a very strong group of Moses. Remember habitation? It will be an identification. Right? Alright. Verse 6. God sets the solitary families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. The word family there is the word bayith in the Hebrew, B-A-Y-T-H. B-A-Y-T-H. Someone who is inside, an insider. The Lord sets the solitary in families, people who we identify with. He set the solitary in families. You find that in Genesis 6:14, Genesis 7:1, and Genesis 12:1. For an household, come out from your household. When he called Abraham, come out from the people you are known with, people you are identified with. And so when you say family, family is people who share the bond with. So it says the Lord sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are born with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Verse 7, O God, when thou went forth before thy people, when thou did march through the wilderness, Selah, the head shook. The heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Presence of God again is what? The earth shook and the heavens also, verse 8, also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai was moved at the presence of God, the Lord God of Israel. Again, he's talking about what happened in the resurrection, the effect of resurrection. Verse 9, thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thy inheritance. When it was will, thy congregation had dwelt therein, O God, thou hast passed, thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. That word, the Lord gave the promise. Okay? Lord gave the promise. You find that in John 22:28, Psalm 77:8. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Many have used this thing for publishing books. Because it's all published there. Actually, what published means to talk about a good news. To talk about a good news. To talk about glad tidings. The Lord gave the word. Great is the complaint. Let's get that word complaint. What complaint was Sabah? Sabah. T-S-A-B-A. In the Hebrew, T-S-A-B-A. It's actually used for, in literal terms, it's used for an army. An army. But if you're going to look at it in more contemporary times, it means those who actively serve. Why would you use army? Army would be those who are serving
that making sense? Alright. So he says, Lord gave the promise, great are the servants that tell the good tidings, right? Eh? If you are going to say that in one sentence, how do you put it? Preaching the gospel, thank you. Preaching the gospel. The Lord gave the promise, great are the servants who would say to the world. Again, that word covenant, it has to do with those who do temple worship. Those who do temple worship. Numbers 31:7. Let's just look at that. With one hand in Psalm 68. Numbers 31:7. Numbers 31:42. And the children of Israel asked, which Moses divided from the men that warred? The men that warred. Those are the company. Those that were at war. As it was Sabbath. 1 Samuel 2. The Lord Israel is used for temple worship. Those who actively serve. 1 Samuel 2:29. Wherefore keep ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honor the sons of David to make yourself fast with the chiefest of all the offerings of my people. My habitation. No. 2 Kings, you find 2 Kings 25:19, Isaiah 29. Let's look at this one. No. Okay. Isaiah 29. The company actually refers to those who are in active service. Okay. So the Lord gave the promise, the Ena, or the Uma, which was an event, but in this case is the promise. The Lord gave the words of his promise, which obviously is the promise of the Messiah. Great is at the servant, the active servant, that publish, he said publish means to what? To proclaim a good tidings, a glad tidings, a good news. Okay. Great is the company that publishes. Let's go back to Psalm 68. So the Lord gave the word, verse 11. Great was the company of those that published it. Verse 12. Kings of armies flee apace. And she that carried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain among the pots, yet you shall be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow goat. If you start picking doctrine from all these ones, they will get you very soon. Yellow dots, wings of silver. Just quickly, just use it for poetry and get away with it. Verse 14. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in summer. The will of God is at the will of Bashan. Bashan should mind you of what? Psalm 22. Eh? They are surrounding me like dogs, the dogs of Bashan. Again, Bashan is a literal kingdom, but is used figuratively for the kingdom of darkness. Okay. This is actually in Psalm 22. Okay. So the hill of God is like the hill of Bashan. As the hill of Bashan. Verse 16. Why leap ye? Ye are ills. That sounds somehow. This is the hill which God desires to dwell in. Where the Lord will dwell in it forever. Now in verse 17. 218 together, everybody. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. For the Lord God, so he says, you have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive. But in this case, he said, you have received gifts for men. But what did Paul say in Ephesians 4:8? He gave gifts to men. And so, Paul will be doing an explanation of David. He says, is Paul misinterpreting the text? No. In Psalm 68, verse 18, he says, you have received gifts from men. But Paul was able to recognize that those who receive will be men. It's not the one that led captivity captive that is receiving gifts. The one receiving the gifts is the man. Right? So again, Paul now brings in the third person as the second person. Singular. This is it. He said, he led captivity captive, then he received gift for men. But Paul is now going to explain that since men are going to be the gifts, he now recognizes the Lambano. That is, it is the men that would receive the gifts. Acts 1:6. It's men that will receive the gifts. You shall receive the Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1:6. Luke 24:49. Carry in Jerusalem, and you will receive, you'll be endued with power from on high. Men that receive. Acts 2:39, same thing. It is men that receive, okay? So what has he done? He has just switched the character. That is, he is not the one that is receiving gifts to for men. Jesus has only ministry gifts. Eh? It is men that receive the gifts, right? So he's saying he led captivity captive and he also gave gifts to men. And so he has switched that Jesus is the one giving, not receiving. Okay. What are we going to give him? A pastor? Alright. For the rebellious also, that is, even those who are rebellious, he will give them gifts. That the Lord might dwell among them. Verse 19, very popular verse. Blessed be the Lord, who delivers us with what? Benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Again, when it says, he delivers us, daily means that what is always with you, alright? The benefits there will now be what? Ministry gifts. Ministry gifts is the benefit. So he's saying, thank God that when he ascended upon high, men now receive gifts, right? Blessed be God. We speak well of this God who has given us benefits, ministry gifts, and they are always with us. Who daily knows us with benefit. They are always with us. Jesus gave Paul, right? And he still gave him ministry gifts to them. So he gave gifts to men. He daily knows us with benefits. Is actually that these gifts are always with you. So he gave gifts to men among men. So if I'm going to summarize Psalm 68 now, from 1 to 19 that we just read, it will be what? Eh? From verse 1, resurrection, let God arise, right? That when he now arises, he's only going to be scattered, right? Eh? That's what happens at the resurrection. Then he tells us in verse 7 and 8, the effects of that resurrection, right? The earth is shaking, everything, just like Sinai. And then say, after that, he will now lead captivity captive and give gifts to men. He will daily know us well. These gifts are not temporal, right? Every time you find the church of God, you will find ministry gifts. He will daily know us with benefits. So it's the plan of God to actually grow us with benefits. And so, your first benefit, apart from salvation in Christ, is actually your pastor. It's God's gift to you. That's why he now says, God's gift to us. God's gift to us. Many people say that without any proper understanding. My pastor, God's gift to me. You should actually, when he says, he daily loads us with benefit, that's the benefit. So the first benefit you have, aside the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, is actually ministry gifts. That makes sense? Huh? Back to Ephesians 4. So you see where Paul was quoting from when he says, either ascended or not, will not be, let God arise. Ephesians 4. Verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended upon high, resurrection, right? Come on, resurrection. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Can you not see? He's not the one receiving gifts from men. He gave gifts to men, of course, among men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But also that he descended, that's his death. He descended in the lower part of the earth. He ascended far above all heavens, that he might what? That he might fill all things. So he's not telling us about God's giving. Remember that in chapter 1 already, verse 19 says, the exceeding greatness of his power, to us who we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, right? And set him as his own right hand in heaven, far above principality and power and every name that's named in his world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet. Verse 22, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, his body, right? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he's telling us that we are his body, the fullness, the pleroma. We are the body of Christ, the fullness. He has told us who we are. Now he's telling us what we have. What we have is actually what? Ministry gifts. He gave gifts to men that he might fill all things. He already said he gave him to be head over all things. Who is the church, right? The fullness of him that filleth all in all. He's now saying that, what did he fill with us with? Daily loads us with benefits. He gave us gifts. Ministry gifts. Is that making sense? What are these gifts? Now he gave some apostles. So this will be what we received. These are the daily benefits. Not house, not car key. This is the daily benefit. He gave us apostles, prophets,
evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So this is received in the body. Now there's a debate that is it fivefold ministry or fourfold ministry? I want to say, yeah. So there's a debate whether five or four. But let's see what he's saying. Traditionally, you might have touched on that. Okay, apostle is the guy that travels about, right? And prophet is the one that sees vision. And evangelist, he sings and also travels too. Right? Then pastor. That one is the gentle one. One that is gentle, that doesn't talk. He only says bless you. Then teacher is the tallest. No power. Abi? Yeah, I know the thoughts, the school of thoughts now. Apostle, he's just traveling about. That's all he does in his life. Today, India. Tomorrow, Philippines. Next tomorrow, Mexico. Then evangelist. Jesus is Lord. Evangelist. Austin Wanko. Yeah. Prophet. When that one come? That last day. Yes. Chapelero. Chapelero. Yeah. I'm a miracle. That one always carry spirit. Then pastor. He's the one you come to for counseling. If you go to the prophet for counseling, it's something else you have. Pastor's the one you come to, you know, say. So when last did you talk to him? That's pastor. He's just slow about. Then teacher, that was the tallest. Just moving down, just saying, letter, Abi. So let's look at it. Is that what he's saying? You'd be quite unreasonable to say that. Again, that was not Paul's intention. We have said that primarily, who is the apostle, evangelist, pastor? Eh? Who is the evangelist? Who is the bishop? Who is the prophet? Eh? It is the Christ. He is the primary bishop. He is the first bishop. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the great evangelist. He is everything. Right? You know, just like Moses. So what is happening is that every ministry gift is actually sharing of his gift. That's why David is saying he received gifts from men. That is, he is the first ministry gift. Then men are now partakers of his ministry. So Paul is now explaining how the partakers of ministry is that actually they received it. Is it making sense? But why I understand David's disposition now is that actually that he is also a gift. Is it making sense? And so just like Moses also, he is the elder, he is the teacher, he's the one teaching the ordinance of God, but he has now put his spirit upon 70. And so the ministry of the 70 is the ministry of Moses. Exactly. We have established that the primary apostle, primary prophet, primary evangelist, pastor, shepherd is the Christ. And what is the message? The gospel, Abby. The ministry is the gospel. Don't forget Psalm 68:11, right? This is the company that what? This is the company that what? That publish it. The one that has given the promise of the Messiah. This is the company of those that proclaim the good tidings. Don't forget. So the ministry will be the message to be the gospel. And the gifts are in the Son of God. And so what we want to look at is that the gift, we look at the gift as noun and verb. That is, as a person. Because often when we say pastor, or we say someone is now an apostle, what we see is the person. Right? Like this, we just see this person. And we refuse to see the verb, the action. Primarily, ministry gift will be an action, a verb, before it's a noun. That is, it will be something you do, they will not say an apostle. It is something you do, they will not say a prophet. Is it making sense? It's not primarily a noun. It's not first name now. It is first an action. Ephesians 4 again. In verse 10, that says, he has done everything that some of the people are bringing up, that they might feel offense. That they might feel offense. So the fullness of the church are the gifts, or are these gifts. The fullness of the church are these gifts. Again, who has the ministry? He said that in chapter 2. Who has the ministry? Eh? Who has the ministry? Every believer. Every believer can prophesy. Right? Every believer should preach the gospel. The ministry is the gospel now. As we just said that. Ministry is teaching and preaching the gospel. Psalm 68:11. Proclaiming the glad tidings. And so every believer has that ministry, right? If God, willing to God, every believer will be a prophet, right? Every member of the ecclesia will be a prophet, right? A kingdom of priests, Exodus 19:6. Revelation 1:6. So, 1 Peter 2:9. We have priesthood, everybody. Alright. So, again, every believer, anyone who has the spirit has the ministry. 2 Corinthians 5:18. The week that was in Christ, the word of himself, and has given us what? The ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has the ministry. So, every believer is also called of God. We see that, Abby. Every believer has the call of God. All about ministers of God. Every believer. All about the man of God. Every believer. All right. That's it. Let us throw up some theories. Now, it's a theory. I didn't say this is a teaching. What have I said now? What am I about to say? Let's throw up some theories. Number one. Verse 11, Acts 4:11. He gave it to some apostles. Just so I can understand this place very well. Let's see some theories, and I'll give you time to think about it. Acts 4:11 says, he gave it to some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. Now, the first theory is that the first two, apostles and prophets, because of Ephesians 2:20, look at Ephesians 2:20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, just as himself being the cornerstone. That is, and Ephesians 3:5, from that, which in other ages has not been made known unto the sons of men, is now revealed unto us by his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. Now, the school of thought that says, the first two, apostles and prophets, that they were in the early church. That would be Peter, James, John, Abby, Andrew, and the 12, right? Including Paul, that those are the apostles and the early prophets, Jude, Silas, Agabus, and that ministry is early church. That what we have today is just evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There's a school of thought on that. And last school of thought, which is quite convincing, and last school of thought is the pastor and the teacher is the one that is responsible for perfecting the saints. Because of the way, look at the order it is yourself, right? That's it, giving some apostles, giving some evangelists, some pastors, some prophets, evangelists, then some pastors and teachers for the perfecting saints. So, some school of thought will have put a full stop after the evangelist, and that says, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting the saints. So, that is laughable, but considerable. It's laughable because that you say is only pastors that are perfecting the saints. But what would they supposed to be doing? Another thing of thought is that it's a five-fold ministry. That is, we have an apostle. We still have an apostle today. We still have prophets today. We still have an evangelist today. We still have a pastor and we still have a teacher. Right? Right? That's another school of thought. But that school of thought, I don't know how we are going to now explain elders, bishop in that school of thought. If it's a five-fold ministry. And last of thought, which is the fourth one, will now be that all the gifts are just one gift. Since the ministry is just one. What do I say? What do I say then? That all the gifts, pastor, apostle, that is, apostle equals to evangelist, evangelist equals to prophet equals to pastor equals to teacher. That they are just all one. Since the ministry is just one. Those are the first school of thought. We think about them and reason them. But I want to leave you with a question. Again, who is responsible for teaching? Again, what would they all do? The apostles, prophets, everybody. To teach, right? 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 If they want to teach, who is responsible for teaching in the ministry of Christ? Every believer, right? Every believer. How about prophecy? Right? How about raising disciples? Only a question that all these gifts are in all believers because it comes to the Spirit, right? Right? Does that mean every believer is a ministry gift? You else, the ministry is just wanting to preach. So what then is the need for the ministry gifts? The ministry gifts come with the Spirit. So are these gifts in all believers, since it comes with the Spirit?